We are? Yeah. Okay, so today we're going to go into the second parsha of the this weekly portion. Because Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech is Mechubarim. It's a conjoined parsha. In fairness, it should be said that by and large, Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech are really like one parsha that gets sometimes divided rather than the other way around. And so, in Parshas Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu enters the Jewish people into a covenant with Hashem. And he goes through many details of this covenant. And he warns them. He tells them this is very doable. Everything can be accomplished and achieved. And then the reading continues. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went. Vayedaber es hadvarim ha'eleh. And he spoke these words. We're in chapter 31 now. El kol Yisrael, to all of Israel. Where did he go? Now Rashi transcribes the words Vayelech Moshe, and he doesn't say anything. And I don't know what the pshat in that is. But at any rate, this is the big question. Where did Moshe go? The Targum Yonasan ben Azil, as the Mefarshim explained it, says he went to the Beis Medrash. And the reason he went to the Beis Medrash, because as Rashi will soon tell us, Nistimu mimenu ma'ayonas ha'chochma. Moshe Rabbeinu had this endless idea well, his endless ability to intuit and understand the profundity of Torah, suddenly found that well sealed. And therefore he went to the Beis Medrash to listen to others teach Torah. He don't want to waste any time. He finished teaching Torah. I went to hear others teach Torah. Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra, as well as other Rishonim say, that Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Shvatim. This was kind of a bereavement mission. He was comforting the Jewish people for his own passing. Ibn Ezra says he went al kol shevet v'shevet. He said to them, this is my last day. I will not be around anymore, but you're going to be just fine. You shouldn't be frightened. You shouldn't be afraid of anything. Everything will be fine. Ramban says that he went, the reason he went from Machne Leviyah to Machne Yisrael, from the camp of the Levites where he always was. He went into the Israelite camp, Lechabdom, to respect the people, to show the people that as he was leaving them, he was taking leave respectfully, going to see each and every one of them. And the Sefarno says, here then is the point. In Parshas Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu enters the Jewish people into a covenant. And now that the covenant has been established, so Moshe Rabbeinu went to comfort the Jewish people for his passing. And he says to them, you should be very happy about this covenant. This is a great source of joy for you. Let my imminent passing not mar the joy of the fact that Hashem has taken you into his confidence and his covenant, and everything's going to be good. So this is how Moshe Rabbeinu busied himself during the last days of his life, last day of his life. The Or HaChaim says something fascinating. He says, we have a tradition that 40 days before a person's passing, the neshama already is leaving. Neshama is leaving. He says, tzaddikim are aware of this. Tzaddikim have a sense. They know before they pass, they're going to pass. They feel the neshama is already leaving them. And because of this, Vayelech Moshe, Moshe went, it says, Vayelech Moshe, the Moshe of him went. This is an unbelievable thing he says. He says that the name of a Yid is symbolic of his essence. So it's like what the Alter Rebbe speaks about in Sheikh of the Emunah, that the name of everything bespeaks his essence. But we see even more so with the name of a Yid, and that's where we say that when it comes to giving a name, that parents have nevuah. It's a nevuah ketana. It's a serious thing. Why do you need a nevuah? Why do you need prophecy to name a child? Whatever you call him table or chair. What's the difference you call him? No, it's not so pashut. The name, it symbolizes his essence and his neshama. And so when it says here, it says, Arachayim Vayelech Moshe, Moshe, meaning the essence of Moshe, had already left. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that his Moshe, that his neshama, which is called Moshe, had already departed. He was aware of this. And because Vayelech Moshe, because his Moshe went away, Moshe Rabbeinu now began to prepare. He knew this. He felt it. And therefore he was preparing for his last moments. It's interesting that Yaakov Avinu calls his children together. He also knows when he's passing. And what does he spend the last days with? Engaged. Yaakov Avinu, the last day of his life, couldn't walk around. But he only had 12 children, not 12 tribes, and two million Jews. So Yaakov Avinu calls his children around his deathbed. Moshe Rabbeinu can't call children around the deathbed, and he was never on a deathbed. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu instead went to reach out to them. In fact, the Kli Yoker says that exactly is the point of Vayelech. Vayelech means to go. He He went forth. Went forth with great strength, with great verve. And here was what Moshe wanted them to know, that there was no tishishas koichai. He did not lose his strength. He did not become old and infirm. But rather, Moshe Rabbeinu was filled with strength until the last moment. He was fresh, filled with the dynamic energy. And he went, vayelech means he went bezizus. He wanted to show them that he has plenty of strength. He's not weakened. He's not imminently dying because he's weak, but rather because his mission has come to an end. So he went to speak to them, to demonstrate to them that he has the strength. However, it's not what Hashem wants anymore. And because it's not what Hashem wants, so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be leading them into the Holy Land of Israel. So the first thing it says is Vayidaber es hadvarim elu. Moshe spoke these things es hadvarim elu. We don't know what these things are, but he spoke. In fact, it says Moshe Rabbeinu used the word Vayidaber. And we use the word dvarim. And then it says in verse 2, Vayoymer aleihem, and he said to them, Ben Meya ve'estrim shana anochi hayoyim, I am 120 years old today. Le'uchal oid latzeis ve'lavoy, I'm no longer capable of going and coming. Vayoymer v'Hashem amar elai, and God said to me, Le'isaver es hayarden hazeh, you shall not go past the Jordan River. Now, in some ways, this verse seems contradictory. On one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ben me'ev esrim shana yom le'uchal, I'm not able." And a moment later, he says, "Vashem amar elai, God said to me." You know, it's not because I can't; it's because I'm not allowed to. It's not appropriate for me to. So the question was, what does that mean? So Rashi explains, "Le'uchal le'latzis v'lovay, I cannot go and come." Yochel, you might think that this means Shetoshash keiche, that Moshe Rabbeinu's strength had become weakened. And therefore he said, because my strength is weakened, loy uchal, I'm not able. Which of course begs the question, if I'm not able, why do you have to say Hashem amar elai? And God said to me, it's not because God said to him, it's because loy uchal, it's because he's not able. So what's the pshat? Rashi says, it doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu became weakened to the point of infirmity and was unable to minister to the Jewish people. Talmud Leimar, we learn later on that Moshe Rabbeinu says about him, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not become dried out, so to speak. He did not lose his vivacity. He remained at a full, intense strength and ability until the very end. So then, what's the meaning of Le'uchal? If he did have strength, so what's Le'uchal? I can't. What does that mean? It says Rashi Le'uchal means Eini Rashai. It's not appropriate. I can't, meaning I'm not allowed to. Shenitlo mimeno harashus, that the permission that Hashem had given him up until this point to lead the Jewish people was now taken, and Moshe Rabbeinu no longer had, so to speak, the scepter, and instead, v'nitno li Yehoshua, instead it was given over to Yehoshua. So therefore, that's the meaning of le'uchol. Le'uchol doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was physically unable. He said, I am unable. Why am I unable? It's almost like the rest of the pasuk is the explanation. The reason that I'm unable, which is a euphemism for leading the Jewish people to go out and to bring in, that euphemism, that idea of going out and bringing in, that this concept is within the frame of because Hashem amar elai, because God said to me, l'savar es hayarden, not chas v'shalom that Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer capable. He was fully capable. However, he was no longer able. Now, why did he say, I'm 120 years old today? Of what difference does it make? Number one. Number two, probably the people knew how old Moshe Rabbeinu was. Why do you have to emphasize? Guys, I'm 120 years old today. So if you want to say he's old, okay, he's old. What do you want? Well, Rashi just explained to us he's not old. So, meaning he didn't have his strength wane. Well, if his strength didn't wane, in that case, why was Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizing his age? So Ramban and the Balaturim say that Moshe Rabbeinu said, look, I'm an old man already. I can't do this anymore. It says he had strength. Okay, we meant to say right now I have strength, but it's not going to last much longer. I'm 120 years old already. And because I'm 120 years old already, it's my time has come, in other words, and Hashem will be with you. But he wants to say, my time has come. I can't do this anymore. Where the Sephorno puts it, do not be grieved by my passing. Because I've reached the age of where a person is supposed to be, alpi teva, by nature. We say we always wish somebody should live 120 years. Because Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years. So wish him 180 years. Yitzchak Avinu lived 180 years. What's wrong? Schlecht? Well, Aaron was not good. He lived 123 years. Wish somebody 123 years. Why stop at Adam? Go to Mrs. Shelach already. So the answer is that in Parshas Bereishis, Hashem says, right in the beginning, and it says, "V'hayu yamav," that person's age will be me'av esim shana. That is the ideal lifespan. So since that's the ideal, that's the not lifespan of nature, beginning of the world, things were very unusual, but that quickly adjusted itself. And 120 years, that's the lifespan. That's the normative lifespan. So because Moshe Rabbeinu was the perfect person, everything about Moshe Rabbeinu is exactly as it should be. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, look, of course I could have lived longer, but I've lived the years of nature. That's what a person is supposed to get. He's supposed to get 120 years. I lived 120 years. I lived 120 years. Don't feel bad. It's just, he's trying to mollify, calm, and console the people because of, as a result of his imminent passing.
So when he was davening to Hashem to go into Eretz Yisrael, it should be that just to see, and then he would pass away, right? Immediately.
Well, that's a good question. So first of all, going into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say I have to live there very long time. He just wanted to do the mitzvahs. Number one. Number two, you could always live longer than the normal. Who says you have to die at the average age? Well, the person will reach the median age. The median age today is 82, let's say. The person will say, okay, I'm 82. Goodbye, guys. I'm not allowed to live anymore. Does that make any sense? He could wish for a person to live more. He tell a ridiculous story. The rabbi came to this woman's bedside, and he said, we're going to say Vidu now. And he said, Vidu. He said all the things. And she said, do I have to die now, or can I have a drink of water first? And it's like, he has to die because 120? No. He can live more. Aaron lived 3 years more. Miriam lived longer. But Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, don't feel bad. I lived a full life. That's what he means to say. Not that he can't live more. He could live, but I live a full life. Like Kliyakar says, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to emphasize, I'm 120 years old today, but I have full of koyach. I have all the strength. Right? Like Rashi says, it was le'nos lecha. The Torah says clearly that he didn't become vapid and dried out. So I have all the strength. It's only because Hashem told me not to. So it's exact, it's counterintuitive. It's not why you would think it is. You think it's, he says, I'm 120, I have no koyach left. Rashi says, no, that's not the case. The Torah itself says otherwise. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I do have koyach. So therefore, we have to come up with these creative ways of understanding the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu says he's 120 years old. Now, why does it say, Vashem omar elai, zehu pirush? This is the meaning of what we just said, le'uchal. The second half of the verse is not saying, I have no strength, and God said to me, which doesn't make any sense. But rather, Rashi explains, I have plenty of strength. However, I can't. Why can't I? Because God said to me, I can't. That's why I can't. That's why I'm not able to go, come and go, which was a euphemism for leading. Because Hashem said to me, you will not pass this Jordan River, but instead, Yoshua will lead the Jewish people. Now he says, Asher anoichi hayoim. But may have asked Shana Anoichi Hayoim. What's the Anoichi Hayoim? What's the today? So Rashi explains the Hayoim, the I am, 120 years, I am. Today, Rashi says, Hayoim Malu Yama Yushnoisai. Today, my days have been filled. What does that mean? B'yoim Zeh Niladti. It was this day that I was born, which of course is the seventh day of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday. And B'yoim Zeh Amos. On this very day, I will pass on. Dover Acher, another way of understanding, Anoichi Hayoim. So you could just, because it's actually not satisfied, you could have just said, Ben Me'ev Esav Shana Anoichi, I'm 120. Why do you say, Ben Me'ev Esav Shana Anoichi Hayoim? What's the emphasis of Hayoim? Dover Acher, another thing is, Lotzes V'lovei, I cannot leave and return. But Divrei Torah refers to words of Torah, not battle, not typical political leadership. The Lamed, this teaches us, Shanistim u'mayenu, mimenu, mesoires u'mayonis ha'chachma, that Moshe Rabbeinu had been removed from him, the intuition, the tradition that he had been given, and the intuition that he always had been gifted with in Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu no longer had the strength in Torah. And because he no longer had the strength in Torah, from this point onward, he was going to be unable to teach and to inspire the Jewish people. Because he can no longer teach and inspire the Jewish people, which is what Jewish leadership is really about. The idea of le'uchal, lotzeis v'lovei, I cannot come and go, is not speaking about battle. It's not speaking about being able to lead or in a political sense, but rather the way a Torah sense, a Moshe Rabbeinu sense, in the idea of Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Le'uchel, I'm not able. I can't come and go, means within the frame of Torah. And Hashem said that I will not be able to lead the people into the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. So there's lots of explanations on the word Vayelech, and then what Vayomer Aleim, and why it's 120, and why Hayom, and why it says Hashem is the one who told me I can't go. There's one thing that the Farshim don't explain here, and this is an obvious redundancy. The pasuk begins Vayelech Meisha, Meisha went, and then it says what's the verb? Vayidaber. Meisha went and
spoke.
Yeah, he talked. He went and talked. So somebody said, why did Moshe go? He went to talk. That's why the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban say what they say in the Sefarno. He must have been talking. Moshe went to talk. But what did he say? Well, it says right what he said. He says, and so on and so forth. But if he went to talk, because it says, Vayelech Moshe, Vayedaber, why does verse 2 start off, Vayomer Aleim? It's like a whole big deal, the first verse of this parsha. Vayelech Moshe, vayidaber, and he spoke. It's called advarim eila, all these words. It's advarim eila el kol Yisrael, to all of Israel. So why do you say vayomer aleihem? Pasuk should just start. You already gave the whole preface. You know, the quotation marks begin over here. Vayidaber es advarim eila el kol Yisrael. And the pasuk should start. Ben Meiva Esem Shana Anechayim. Why do we re-emphasize Vayoyimer Aleim? He said to them. Number one, there's a change in the verbiage. In the first pasuk it says Vayidaber. In the second pasuk it says Vayoyimer. In the first pasuk it says Vayidaber Dvarim Ha'ela, and I'll call Yisrael. In the second pasuk it just says Vayoyimer Aleim. The Pharisees don't address this. It doesn't say Vayidaber and Vayomer again and again and again. Once we reach this point, we get a collection of verses till the end of verse 6. Then verse 7 is Vayikra Moshe LeYeshua. Moshe calls you Yeshua. But for the first 6 verses of Parshas Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he speaks. So why do we start off by saying Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he speaks, and then we say again Vayomer Aleim, then he speaks? And first, don't explain this. But luckily for us, the Rebbe does explain it, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, very good, correct. We do have a few times in Torah. And we know what the meaning is, actually. So this is the opening question for today's little deeper rumination into what's going on here in the opening verses of Parshas Vayelech. Beginning at the bottom of Kuf Mem Zayin, Simen Gimel, we move into top of page Kuf Mem Ches. So the thing is as follows: L'dvarav shel Moshe bepsukim aboyim. In the words of Moshe in the coming verses, it says Hashem elikecha hu yashmid es hagoyim ha'ila. He is going to destroy all of these nations milfanecha before you, v'yirishtam, and you will inherit these nations v'goyim. So in saying these words, Hoysa Matara Kfula, there was a twofold intention. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving multiple messages here. Amnam, indeed, and certainly, Beikram Hufnu Hadvarim El Bnei Yisrael. The words were primarily directed towards Bnei Yisrael. That's what it's directed towards. Kedivrei Idud V'chizuk, words of encouragement, words of empowerment, words of consolation, bereavement. This is what the Mefarshim speak about. L'kras p'tirasi shel Moshe, as we approach the passing of Moshe, the assumption is that people are going to be crestfallen. They'll be depressed. They'll be saddened. They'll be weakened. So Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to them strong words. And they're about to go into the land of Israel. L'kras haknisa l'eretz Yisrael, you're going to go into the land of Israel. You need to be strong. You need to have strength. You need to know you're going to be able to do this. You have to go with confidence. You can't come brokenhearted, crestfallen, thinking this is never going to work. So that was one message. One message was directed directly towards the Jewish people. However, there's another audience Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing here. This is multiple texts. You could send, you know, to different, so to speak. Huh?
Different recipients.
Aval yachadim zeis. Along with this, heim noyedugam. La'oznav shel ha'olam kulei. Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well that his words would be broadcast widely. He knew very well that the things he would say would ultimately reach far beyond the audience that he was addressing. And that's why he said those words. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want his words to be broadcast beyond the immediate circle of Bnei Yisrael who was standing before him? Kedei lishbor es ruach ha'isnagdus l'knisa shel Bnei Yisrael la'aretz. To break the spirit of opposition. It's a very powerful spirit of opposition from the people who lived in Israel, from the people in the nations around Israel. Nobody wanted Jews in Israel. Nothing has changed, actually. Nothing changed. There's a lot of opposition. And Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking his words, and he's directing them also to all this opposition out there. Take heed. Take heed, he was saying. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Don't be enthused. Oh, their Moshe is gone. Now we have no hope. No, Moshe said, that's not the case. Matara kfula zu, this double intention. Moshe's words are forked over here. They go, not in the literal way, but there's multiple audiences that he's addressing. And the Rebbe suggests that it's these double intentions, these different audiences, that's the cause for the shnei bituyim, for the two expressions of verbiage, of speaking, ha'poischem es ha'dvarim, that open these words. Verse 1 says, v'yidaber. V'yidaber es ha'dvarim eli. He spoke these words. Verse 2 is, v'yoymer. What's the difference between v'yidaber and v'yoymer? As you correctly said, sometimes v'yidaber, sometimes v'yoymer. What's the difference? So, ha'hevdol v'yidaber l'v'yoymer, mefurish b'divrei Rashi. It says it openly in the words of Rashi. It's found in Parshas Baal Eischo. It's found earlier with regard to Matan Torah. Numerous times. This is something that's found throughout the Torah. Throughout, from the beginning, from Parshas Lech Lecha, I found the references for this. You always could see a difference in Vaidaber and Vayomer. And how's that? What does it mean? Rashi says, in Dibur b'chol makim elo l'shen kosher. When you have the word Dibur, what do you know? Tough stuff. Tough talking. Tough words. That's dibur. Dibur is strident. Very strong words. Ve'ein amira, but saying, is always softly spoken. It's lashon tachnunim. It's like, perhaps, it would be nice. Will you, please? It's different syntax. It's very different. There's people who bark orders, and then people who very respectfully request kind of just probe to see, could we do this? It's a different way of speaking. It's a different way of communicating. And as a rule, we learned way, way back in the beginning of the Chumash, of the Torah, when we received the Torah, that when it comes to women, the most effective way to get through to them is speak softly. Softly spoken words, that's going to get through to them. And when you speak to the guys, how do you have to speak? Tough words, hit them over the head. They only understand the toughest of language. That's the way it is.
And over and over again.
There's a meme out there on Facebook. It says, you don't have to tell your husband to whatever clean up the yard 1,000 times. It will get done within the next 10 years. Like, something like that. So this is the idea of the difference in Vayomer and Vayidaber. And the Rebbe suggests brilliantly that this is what's going on here. Habito Vayidaber es advarim ha'ela. He talked. Oh, did he talk? He gave them over the head. The tough talk, the strident talk, the very, very powerful words. Lashon kosher. That was Reimez Lekach Sheklapi Ha'olam Hayu Eilu Dvarim Koshim. The world would hear very strident words from Moshe. Do you hear what he said? Next day, front pages of the Moav Times. Do you hear what Moshe said? Do you hear that message, that speech he gave? This is a big deal. Like, this is his final speech. It was a huge speech, huge crowd gathered. And Moshe Rabbeinu was there, and the press was there, and they were tweeting as he spoke. Everybody heard about this. And they heard Dvarim Koshim. No Yadu, this was intended and purposefully said, Lishbar es snagdusay, to break down the opposition. They heard words like this, and everybody was, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. Do you hear what he said? He said, Hashem is going to shatter the enemies and we're going to go in there. We're going to have crowning victory. And then, v'ilu habita v'yoymer aleim. But then in verse 2, it says, he spoke softly to them, lashon raka. This is remez l'tafkidim shel advarim b'yachas l'bnei Yisrael. This is how the Jewish people would hear these words. How would they hear the words? Dvarim rakim, soft words. Words of idud, words of encouragement. Words of chizuk, words of empowerment. Kedarka shalaya neman, like a trusted and faithful shepherd. Hamedaberim tzay marisi, he speaks to his flock. Brachais uvedarka noyem. He speaks to them in a tone that's filled with blessings and pleasantries. And so, the amazing thing is that there were no two speeches. There was only one speech. But Moshe Rabbeinu, in his brilliance, said the same thing, only once. And different people heard different things. Everybody heard what they needed to hear. The people of Israel heard in these words softly spoken encouragement. They heard in these words empowerment. They heard in these words that they would be able to achieve and succeed, and they had nothing to be frightened of. The world heard in these words, the Jewish people are a steamroller. Nothing will stand in their way. They will enter the land of Israel. The Jewish commonwealth will be established. And this is part of the brilliance of Moshe. And this is when Nistam Amen Amayonis Chachma. This is when Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer Moshe. Like Or HaChaim says, Vayelech Moshe. The Moshe left him. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu was still capable of doing what no regular person could do. In other words, even when Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't operating at full tilt. He's still far beyond what a regular person could do. He was able to choose his words so carefully so as to address two audiences at the same time with vastly different message. Each one heard what they had to hear, and that allowed Moshe, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, spending the final moments of his life ensuring that the moments in post-mortem, after he passes on, everything should continue to unfold exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wanted it to. May we merit to very, very soon have the encouragement of Moshe, see our enemies frightened, and we should be zeichet to Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach, going into Eretz Yisrael and establishing ourselves eternally for the very last and eternal time. B'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.
Amen.